My name is Garland Robinson. Are you aware that denominationalism denies water baptism with a vengeance? In their minds, one thing is certain. Water baptism has absolutely no connection with forgiveness of sins and salvation. Therefore, they reject it, and they make very bold claims that it is one of the most damnable doctrines the devil has ever conceived. Members of the Church of Christ, on the other hand, simply accept what the Bible says on the subject and all other subjects, whether we like the results or not. We strive hard not to glorify one subject more than another. We believe in rightly dividing the word of truth, as we read in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. That means that we accept all that the Bible says and recognize the harmony between all different subjects. There's no way to deny what the Bible teaches about water baptism and still be right with God. Notice these plain, simple, and understandable verses. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. In Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. In Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. In Romans 6:3-6, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In Romans 6:17-18 we read, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. The doctrine they obeyed was the doctrine of water baptism that we read about earlier in that same chapter of Romans 6:3, 4, 5, and 6. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. In Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And then one more, 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that those who do not obey him do not go to heaven in Matthew 7:21. He also said in Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? John 15:14 makes clear that a friend of Jesus will keep his commandments. Now, when we consider the subject of water baptism, we find that it is for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. The word for means in order to receive. But so many in denominationalism say the word for means because of. They say one is baptized because of the remission of sins, not in order to the remission of sins. A parallel to the phrase for the remission of sins is found in Matthew 26:28. And there it is said that Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sins. That is, Jesus died in order for men to receive remission of sins. Jesus did not die because men have already received remission of sins. The clear and obvious conclusion is this: if baptism is because of remission of sins in Acts 2:38, then Jesus shed his blood because of remission of sins in Matthew 26:28. The two phrases are identical in both English and Greek. a person needs help to misunderstand these verses, and sadly there's so many people ready to provide such help because they hate what the Bible says about water baptism with a vengeance. Their minds are made up, and nothing on earth or in heaven will convince them otherwise. Without the remission or the forgiveness of sins, there's no salvation, because it's one's sins that causes a person to be lost to begin with. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, and Ephesians 2, and verse 1 and 2, says that a person is lost because of their trespasses and sins. So whatever the Bible says is for the remission of sins must be essential to salvation. Jesus shed His blood for the remission of sins. Therefore, the blood of Jesus is essential for salvation. Water baptism is for the remission of sins. Therefore, water baptism is essential for salvation. Without it, there is no salvation. You remember John the Baptist? John the Immerser? He preached baptism for the remission of sins in Mark chapter 1 and verse 4. Jesus also preached the same and actually baptized more disciples than John. Jesus commanded the apostles to go into all the world and baptize those who believed, Mark 16:16. And that's exactly what they did. Beginning on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and continuing throughout their life, they taught all other disciples to do the same thing. Therefore, the same practice for the same purpose continues down even to this day. Friend, salvation is in Christ. That's made clear in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. Since salvation is in Christ, an obvious question is this: how does one get into Christ? Romans 6:3 and Galatians 3:27 give the answer. Baptism is both how and when one gets into Christ. No other verses give us this information. Faith alone does not put one into Christ. Every time you find baptism in anything said about salvation, salvation always follows baptism. Salvation never comes before water baptism. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to be baptized in order to flee from the wrath to come. That's what we read in Matthew 3:7 and Luke 3:7. John's baptism was for the remission of sins, Mark 1:4, Luke 3:3. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. In Acts 2:38, we read a baptism, and when it is done, one receives the remission or the forgiveness of sins. In Acts 2:41, we read a baptism, and then by that act, one is added to the church. The church is the body of the saved, Ephesians 5:23. In Acts chapter 8, verses 36 to 39, we read a baptism, and then afterward, one rejoices at being saved. In Acts 22:16, we read a baptism, and at that moment, one's sins are washed away. In Romans 6 and verse 3, we read a baptism, and through that act, one is put into Christ where salvation is. In Romans 6 and verse 4, we read a baptism, and through that act, one is put into the death of Christ. In Romans 6 and verse 4, we read a baptism, and at that moment, one begins to walk or to live a new life. In Romans 6 and verse 6, we read a baptism, and at that moment, one's sins are destroyed. In Romans 6 and verse 6, we read a baptism, and afterwards, one no longer serves sin. In Romans 6:7 and verse 11, we read a baptism, and through that act, one becomes dead to sins. In Romans 6 and verse 8 and verse 11, we read a baptism, and through that act, one becomes a servant of Jesus Christ. In Romans 6 and verse 13, we read a baptism, and at that moment, one is made alive from spiritual death. Those once dead in sins are now alive unto the Lord. In Romans 6 and verse 14, we read a baptism, and afterwards, one no longer allows sin to have dominion over them. They no longer live a life of continual sin. in Romans 6, in verse 17 and 18, we read of baptism. And at that express moment, one is made free from their sins. In Galatians 3:27, we read of baptism. And through that act, one puts on Christ. In Colossians 2:12, we read of baptism. And at that moment, God performs an operation that removes one's sins. In Colossians 2, verse 12 and 13, we read of baptism. And at that moment, one receives the forgiveness of all their trespasses, of all of their sins. In 1 Peter 3:21, we read of baptism. And through that act, one is saved. He plainly says, baptism doth also now save us. Friend, to deny baptism is to reject its teaching. It's to reject its purpose and to reject its design. To deny baptism is to reject the counsel of God. Will you be like those in John 12 and verse 42 and 43 who reject the command of God? There the Bible says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And then verse 43 tells us why. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Friend, do you love Jesus? Do you love the Lord? Are you going to reject the words of the Lord and refuse to be baptized as He has commanded? Are we overemphasizing baptism? By no means, no. Do we put our trust in baptism? Again, the answer is no. Our trust is in the Lord and what He teaches us. We discuss the subject so much because men deny its purpose in God's plan of salvation. It's not more important than the rest of the plan of salvation, nor is it any less important than the whole plan of salvation. It is not more important than faith, nor is it any less important than faith. It just happens to be the exact moment one is transformed from being lost to being saved. Friend, won't you be saved? If you truly believe in Jesus, that He is the Son of God, won't that faith in Him move you to repent of your sins? Change your thinking, your mind, and your life will be different. Confess faith in Jesus, saying, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. Then you can be baptized into water. For, in order to receive, to have your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus, you're raised to walk a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the plan of salvation. It's not my word. It's not what I said, but what Jesus said, and what you can read in your Bible in the New Testament.